Hello, and welcome to Wrestlespective Radio. I'm Jason Mann, and with me, Josh Hatchett. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
You know what they call, you know what the term they use to describe a band like you, Josh?
What would that be?
Courage.
All right.
That's the word that they would use.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, no problem.
Where does that get me on this top 50 list?
I don't know. That's a good question. And yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. The WWE put out a, or it has not put out the DVD yet, but they're going to put out the DVD, and it is a top 50 wrestlers of all time.
All time.
Yeah, 50 greatest superstars, I believe, in WWE
they're
history.
They're not wrestlers.
No, they're not wrestlers. You know, no, why would they be wrestlers? So it's sort of an interesting list. And I want to be clear about this, that it's not like we're not mad or there's no like anger about like this ranking because it's
you knew it was going
to
happen.
Well, it's like such this. Yeah, I mean it's not something to get angry about. It's something where like trying to understand the mindset behind like what motivated them to make these choices. Mm-hmm. And no list is going to satisfy everyone, and I'm sure at least probably when they first came up with this list, came up with the idea to do this DVD, I'm sure they at least had some sort of motivation to make it as historically accurate as possible, given the internal politics of WWE.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the list and see. Number one is Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels is pretty great.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now the best wrestler of all time.
Well, right. I mean. Now, this is getting into what criteria are they talking about. Are they talking about in-ring? Are they talking about drawing power? Are they talking about most titles held or, you know, lengthy career or, you know, things like that? I mean, you know.
But is he number one in any of these categories?
Well, some people would tell you that he's number one in-ring. I'm not sure I believe that, but he's among the best, certainly, in WWE history. You know, if you're talking about guys in the last 30 years in WWE, as far as in-ring performance, he's at the top or near the very top anyway.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Let's go there. Number two is The Undertaker. Kind of a similar criteria there. Maybe not as strong in the in-ring for most of his career, but, you know, bigger draw probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he was on top during the big years, you know, fueled by Austin, you know, the Attitude Era when Shawn was gone for most of that time. So
Yeah. Okay.
The in-ring's not as strong, but
yeah, he's up there, but you know,
number two.
What do you do? Number two's a stretch,
right? Well, you know, you think about longevity and think about that. But I mean, these are guys like I can understand WWE's mentality of putting these guys at the top of the list. I can at least understand that.
I mean, you knew going in that this was what it was going to be about,
right?
This was going to make up the top of the list. So.
Yeah. Number three, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Yeah, I mean that one's fine.
Yes,
that one is where you would pretty much where you would expect him to be. You'd expect him to. I mean, if you're talking about importance to WWE itself, I think you know Austin, Hogan, and Bruno Sammartino are the top three.
Yes,
but now this is obviously is this just WWE? Is this all of wrestling? Is this North America? Is this last 30 years? Is it last 50 years? Is it last 100 years? You know, these are the things that. That I think about sometimes, and not that I, you know, think they were going that deeply into it. But if you're talking about an all-time greatest list, those are the things that you know I think about. So I can at least kind of understand that Austin didn't have the longevity of Michael's Undertaker. So I can at least understand the mentality. But you know, I mean, as far as you know, draw and in ring, I mean. It's particularly being a draw. I mean, Austin was one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
So,
and just the impact he had, I think.
Yeah.
You know, just you know, Michaels and Undertaker around longer, but the impact Austin had was, I think, far greater.
Yeah, so. I mean, he was revolutionary. Yeah. Where you know, Michaels and Undertaker were you know big time stars for a long time, but never, you know, even though they had much more longevity, I don't think they had the impact of bringing in so many new fans and, you know, really shaping wrestling the way that Austin did.
Well, I mean, even Impact, you can look at, you know, this year's WrestleMania. You know, they have a great match and, you know, by all accounts, the WrestleMania is considered a dud when it comes to buys. I mean, this was
business wise, lowest business wise around,
and you know,
well, in the last like five or in the last you know 7-8 years, overall, it's still pretty strong. But since WrestleMania, you know, became a really really big show, it's one of the lower ones in recent memory, anyway. So, number four, Bret Hart.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Bret Hart's pretty great, but it's interesting that he is now in the good graces of WWE and is number four. Number four all-time greatest wrestler on their list.
Yeah, I would say probably before January he wouldn't be on this list.
No. Yeah, I don't know. He's not this high. Probably a few years ago. I mean, when they did the Hall of Fame, I think.
Okay.
I don't anywhere from like 97 to 2005, he would not have been anywhere near the top on this list, but now he is. So that's interesting. Number five, The Rock.
Yep.
You know, kind of same thing with Austin. Mm-hmm. You know, the draw and the revolutionary aspect is there. The longevity, maybe not, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Number six, Harley Race. Now that's an interesting one,
because
Harley Race, great NWA champion. Didn't really, I mean, he was in WWF for a few years, but it was a end of his career. He was past his prime, kind of in some ways meant to embarrass him with the King gimmick.
Yeah.
So, the idea of revisionist history, him being number six,
and
this seems like one of those things where they're trying to be like historically accurate. And he's like, well, he was an 8-time champion and he was a big deal
how much we know about history.
Right. Yeah. That kind of feels like that would be the reasoning behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Number seven, Ricky Steamboat. Now, Ricky Steamboat is a great wrestler in ring is, you know, wonderful, but as far as a draw, as far as a guy, you know, as, or being on top, this seems a little high for.
Yes, it does. I agree.
Yeah,
especially considering just a couple guys that are far underneath them.
Right. Yes.
This is
as far as historical impact. Ricky Steamboat, I mean, great wrestler, and his rivalry with Flair obviously was very influential in as far as influencing maybe a style of wrestling that evolved. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as far as. Yeah, this does seem high.
Yes.
Number eight, Andre the Giant. One of the greatest attractions of all time. So, you know, he probably seems like he belongs in the top 10.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Number nine, Rey Mysterio. you laugh at that. But, I mean, if you consider, like, outside the U.S., I mean, if you could kind of consider, like, his work in Mexico for a number of years, if you consider how revolutionary a guy his size was, you know, your top 10's a little high, but, you know.
He's on this list.
He's in the top 50,
But this is high.
Yeah, this scene does seem a little high. You know, number 10, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
He'd be a little bit high.
Yeah, I would kind of think he'd be, like, in the top 20, but maybe, but 10 does seem, you know, that's an interesting one right there.
You know, and again, it's just the guys below him, you know, to have him above. You know, some of these guys is just funny to me.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, by any account, no matter how you judge it, to have him above some of these guys is just funny.
It is funny, yeah. It's interesting.
As are the next couple.
Right. Number 11, Eddie Guerrero, who, you know, was great. We love Eddie Guerrero, and, it would belong in the top 50, but maybe, but 11, you know, that seems a little high. And he's ahead of number 12, Triple H.
Yes.
Well, that's an interesting one.
That is interesting.
You know, because the whole, you know, obviously Triple H being in the McMahon family, you know, it's like where do you put him, like, legitimately, and where do you put him, like, in, you know, the WWF hierarchy of great stars they've had, your WWE hierarchy of the great stars they've had in the past decade, to have him and put him below Eddie when, you know, I mean, I think we both certainly agree that Eddie was the far better wrestler, better wrestler. I mean, far better wrestler.
Yes.
Triple H had a few years where he was really good, but overall, I don't think he holds a candle. And but you know, when it comes to, I mean, Triple H has more title reigns, probably a bigger star worldwide. You know, a little bit maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, Eddie did have, you know, he had some years in Mexico and Japan where he was pretty big. So, you know, it's. But, you know, in the world of WWE, I think Triple H overall bigger star. So this mm-hmm. one's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Number 13, Gorgeous George. Gorgeous George being the very another historical choice, but Gorgeous George is in big in vogue in WWE with apparently a movie in the works,
exactly.
And the idea that he is like the forerunner to the superstars of today, kind of idea, which is sort of interesting. He was kind of, my understanding, he was very much a flash in the pan kind of thing.
Yes.
He had a few really, really huge years, kind of like a Goldberg, I guess, mm-hmm. of his day, completely different character, but he was big for a while and then and it was during a really influential period where a lot of people were watching wrestling. So he's a guy that everyone knows, but didn't really mean a whole lot. His effect, his drawing power was not mm-hmm. particularly lasting, is my understanding anyway. Number 14, Macho Man Randy Savage. That's an interesting choice given the height, given the lack of contact he's had with WWE, given all the rumors and so forth of why he's not involved in WWE. So
he's not TNA, so that he's not in TNA, so that
right? I guess that's what it is. Yeah, he's not in TNA. So
better to be non-existent than in TNA. For this list.
Yeah, and next one is Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig. So that one is pretty exceptionally high, despite obviously Kurt Hennig being really good.
Yeah, Hennig was good, but he's not an impact type of guy to be this high.
Right, right, exactly. I guess it. Let's see, how many people do we have so far that are not alive right now? We got Andre, Eddie, and Hennig. And Gorgeous George. I don't know if it helps to not be alive anymore to be higher on this list, but and I guess all four of those guys died young. So
mm-hmm.
Number 16, John Cena. What do you think of John Cena being number 16 on that list? Because he's the biggest star now, and he's pretty much been the biggest star of the 2000s, or at least the last 6-7 years.
Maybe a touch high, but I, to be honest with you, probably I can see him being in the top 20, and I don't really have a problem with it.
Right, in the standards of WWE, as far as number of titles and in ring accomplishments, as a worker, no. As a draw, he's kind of been the big draw, even though now it's really the company that's the draw rather than individual. But
yeah.
Number 17, Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair tied at number 17.
Yes.
That's a weird one.
Yes, that's.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Dusty and Flair had a big rivalry, and they're linked in some respect, but it's not like I think, they're absolutely tied together like in history, know?
It's just silly. Like they made votes for this, and all of a sudden, these were the only two that tied. That's just goofy.
Okay. Dusty is probably you could argue top 20. I think for Dusty, as a draw and as in the last 40 years or so, Flair should obviously be much higher. Flair probably should be number one or two or in top five anyway.
Yeah.
Based on every measure, and of course the reason he's not is because he's in TNA. Or well, presumably.
Yeah.
Obviously, we don't know what they're thinking, but it's the only thing that makes sense.
To be that low. Yeah.
Yeah. So that one's funny. Number 19, Edge. Yeah, I don't see Edge as a top 20 guy. Legitimately.
No.
Number 20, Jerry the King Lawler. Obviously he's been part of WWE for a long time and was a huge legend, in the territorial days and 20 might be a little high, but that's not, I don't think it's completely out of bounds, again, narrowly talking about we're talking about the last 30, 40 years in wrestling with a couple of exceptions, and we're talking about North America and,
mm-hmm.
United States really. So, Lawler makes sense in that context.
Mm-hmm.
Number 21, Lou Thesz. Who, belong in a historical sense? Yeah. Interesting to see what footage they have of him. I'm sure they have some, but this DVD itself will be interesting to watch, and the documentary and
see what they have,
how they do it. Yeah, like yeah. I imagine they probably won't have a lot of matches. It'll probably be more like, because you talk about 50 guys.
Yeah.
A 3-minute documentary for each. That's and it's 150 minutes. Is that which I guess, they could, I guess there'll be enough if it's three discs to have some bonus matches for, you know, that might be. So they'll probably have to, you know, have matches of guys against, you know, of a top 50 guy against top 50 guy. But anyway, number 22, Terry Funk, also a great NWA champion. Kind of a guy who's been on, in and out with WWF or WWE for, you know, over the years. But so here's an interesting one. Number 23, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, if you're going to have him this low, don't even put him on this, you
know? I don't know. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's obviously a clown now, and, you know, it's a, whatever he does now is kind of a joke, but, you know, come on.
Yeah. Imagine, okay, go back in time to 1991, and imagine that someone were making a list of the top 50 wrestlers of all time. Particularly WWF list.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Hulk Hogan not being number one on that list, or at least not being like top two or three on that list?
Yeah. I mean, this Hogan's it's top three without a doubt.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously the wrestling, the work rate there isn't that high, but everything else is incredibly high. Yes. And number 24, Bruno Sammartino. And, you know, he's a guy who's been on the outs with WWE forever. Interesting that they would, you know, despite, you know, they still couldn't bring themselves to rank him above, ahead of Hogan. I don't know if there's any intent there or anything. But, you know, I got into a discussion with somebody, talking about the list. And, again, not like, you know, I'm not up in arms about any of these or anything like that. It's just interesting to look at the mindset, but the idea that whether, you know, you could possibly rank Bruno ahead of Hogan, and my take is that you could really justify going either way.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that, you know, Bruno wrestled in an era, there was no pay-per-view,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was not a national wrestling promotion. Cable TV was in its infancy and wasn't spread. It was at a very tiny portion of the country.
Yeah.
You can't really compare Bruno's accomplishments and Hogan's accomplishments.
Yeah,
it'd be like trying to compare Ty Cobb to Babe Ruth,
mm-hmm.
where, yeah, I know there was a few years of overlap in their career, but basically Ty Cobb played in the dead ball era and Babe Ruth played in the, you know, home runs everywhere era. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you just, you know, Bruno was number one in his day, very, very high in his day. Mm-hmm. Was the top guy in the top money drawing territory in the United States for, you know, 20 plus years. So I, you know, like I said, I don't think there'd be a WWE without Bruno. Mm-hmm. And Hogan, you know, obviously very important too, big, huge draw. But, you know, even though Bruno, you know, drew in the Northeast and a few other places and definitely lots of places where he was not a big star. Hogan also had his shortcomings and areas he didn't draw and things. So I think there's a, you know, I think the idea that Bruno doesn't compare to Hogan isn't quite fair.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Thanks. Number 25, Chris Jericho.
Okay.
What do you think about Chris Jericho?
Maybe a few spots high, but probably a top 30 guy.
Okay.
I'd say.
I'll buy that. Number 26, Ted DiBiase, presumably Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, and not Ted DiBiase Jr.
You never know.
That's what I'm presuming. So well,
I mean that hot feud that he had with I don't know. I can't think of any hot feud.
Okay. Yet, so. Okay. Goldust. He's feuding with Goldust now.
That's the current one, I guess.
Okay. That's so. Goldust has been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Ted DiBiase, he's great. So, he also had a, you know, very good, pre-WWF mm-hmm. career that people definitely don't always know about, St. Louis and Mid-South and I guess Georgia a little bit too. I guess he had a pretty good run in Atlanta. So, so DiBiase, yeah, I would say top 30 is about right, you know, given the limitations of this list.
Yeah.
Next we got the Fabulous Moolah. Who is the connection with the Million Dollar Man is interesting. Yeah, I think the criticisms on Moolah is that she kept herself on top all the time and didn't really draw, and it was just, you know, the idea that, you know, they brought women in and that was a special attraction, that was a thing. So I don't think anyone really seriously considers Moolah, you know, a top class, you know, and really in any criteria other than she just happens to be a very famous name in women's wrestling because she controlled it, basically.
Yes. Okay.
So, yeah. So, next we have Classy Freddie Blassie, who is actually really a huge deal, especially in California and in Japan and other places in his day, and then was a memorable manager and also a pop culture figure. So he's definitely, I think, top 50, given, yeah, especially given some of the people we're gonna get down here pretty soon. So,
and coming up next.
Yeah, Randy Orton. Well, I mean, Randy Orton's won, like, a lot of titles, and, you know, at least in, like, yeah, the idea of, you know, being champion lots of times and, you know, being, I mean, he's been probably, like, at the top, one of the top three stars of the past 5 years, and
yeah, he just, to me, he doesn't seem like a draw. It seems like every time they've given him a run, it's been a dud, and for some reason, he just hasn't worked, on top. You know, it just hasn't, worked out. And, to me, I don't even see him on this list. To be honest with you.
Yeah,
I don't see him at all.
I don't think he would have been if he had come along 20 years before, I don't think he would have been a world champion.
Yeah.
You know, 30 years, I don't sense, I'm trying to think of like a guy he could have been like, maybe a
like Tito Santana or something.
Okay, like yeah, that's yeah, about right. Yeah, that's about right for him.
Yeah,
yeah, like a heel. He probably would have been a heel most of his career, but yeah, I think a heel Tito Santana would be about at the level that he would have been.
Yeah,
or like a Jake Roberts kind of,
upper mid card
guy. Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah,
number 30, Pat Patterson, who was actually a really good wrestler in his day, you know, in San Francisco and. And obviously WWF days, first Intercontinental Champion, probably not a top 30 guy, but
yeah,
he was as a wrestler, he was very good. Number 31, Iron Sheik. I don't really think Iron Sheik was that. I mean, I know he had his WWF title run, the brief one, but I think that was more of a a right guy, right place kind of thing. I don't think he was ever like really a huge, like, main event level guy. I mean, obviously he had the great feud with Sergeant Slaughter, was around and, I guess was a pretty good worker in his day.
Yeah.
Not really a guy who feels like he would belong on an all time list. You know, if you're talking about a top, top 30 in a top 50 in last 3 years in WWE, maybe at the bottom of it, Jimmy Snuka, number 32.
Probably a little high.
Yeah. He was really hot for kind of right before the national expansion era. Was a pretty big deal. Had a long career. Never really held any titles or have any, particular note.
Yeah.
Was never like a number one guy. It was probably pretty close in like 82 and 83 in WWF, even though Backlund was champion. I think he was actually the bigger star with fans.
I'm not sure if he makes this list, really. I don't know. I don't know enough as far as, the historical stuff, as far as, maybe where to put him. I know, like you said, he was hot there for a couple years, but I don't know if, he seems like one of the interesting cases where, he seems like he was almost as hot as anybody right before the whole thing, kind of took off with WWF, and then he never really... did a whole lot once everything took off.
Yeah, I wonder if Vince had expanded in, let's say, 1980 into 1984, whether that would have changed how history viewed him. Yeah. Or, I wonder if just a matter of timing was the issue for him.
Yeah, some of those matches, people are going like, berserk, some of those steel cage matches. The atmosphere in that.
Well, obviously awesome. Jumping off the top rope, and that's a thing that people remember, 30 years later. Yeah. So, it's...
I guess he had moments, but I don't know that, his body of work, puts him in this list, so...
Yeah, interesting choice, anyway.
Yeah.
Number 33, Mick Foley, of all, so another one where I'd probably put... Actually, probably about, if you're talking about an all-time criteria, he's about right. If you're talking about, last 30 years, he's probably a little bit ahead of this. But probably another guy who's TNA career has hurt him. I'm not sure whether the decision was made before they started, you know, plugging his book and being, you know, whether they started liking each other again. But, and it seems fine. You know, obviously Foley's really influential guy, but he, you know, he obviously belongs ahead of Orton and, you know, a number of these guys. Number 34, Kurt Angle. Probably deserves a little bit better, but obviously he's been TNA for a long time. Held a lot of titles, you know, big star, and, you know, great worker. So, yeah, it's fine. Number 35, Buddy Rogers, who historically was probably an even bigger, probably a bigger deal than Gorgeous George and, you know, some of these guys. I mean, he was actually NWA champion, had more longevity, kind of had a similar, well, I don't know if it was similar. He had the blonde hair. I mean, he kind of, obviously, he was the original Nature Boy, but he was much like, he was kind of like a mean, you know, like gruff character, I think, in some respects. I haven't seen a lot of him, obviously, since he stopped wrestling in the 60s. But as far as historical importance, he's pretty high up on the list, I think. 36, Gorilla Monsoon. I think Gorilla Monsoon is just going to be on this list because, you know, he's a longtime WWF guy, and a lot of people have fond memories of him as a commentator and. Yeah. And so forth. Although, interestingly enough, in the 80s, he was a guy who the smart fans hated as a commentator. Like, really? He would always, like, win, like, Worst Commentator of the Year awards, really? Like, in the Observer Awards and stuff. Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just, I mean, if you kind of compare him to, like, the Gordon Solie model that people love, where, you know, like, Gordon Solie would, like, treat it more like a sport and would call the moves and stuff, and I don't know, Gorilla was more of a character.
Yeah, entertainer type.
Yeah. So I think it was some of that. I think you know, we think of, like, the really good Gorilla stuff, but there was some ones that were kind of, you know, it was a little and he could kind of go on off on kind of weird tangents and, you know. So, I can kind of see it a little bit, although I enjoy it and it's, you know, it's part of my memory. So, you know, I like Gorilla Monsoon, but
yeah.
As a wrestler, don't really have a strong opinion. He was kind of slow and plodding, but that was kind of the WWF style. So, you know, he did what he did. 37, Junkyard Dog. Seems a little high, although he was pretty influential. I mean, you know, he was one of the, you know, pretty big African-American star, you know, when there were not a lot before him.
That's worth noting.
Yeah, he's a pioneer. So. You know, the wrestling work itself was, you know, not great for most of his career, but but he was, you know, he was a big deal, and you know, even a big deal in the early WWF days. You know, I mean, he was, you know, probably number two or three babyface behind Hogan for, you know, two or three years. So, I mean, you know, it was a big deal. Number 38, Superstar Billy Graham, which he's a little, I don't know if it's low as far as deserving, but he's a little low as far as my expectations would be. I don't know what the relationship between him and WWE is at this point. He and they kind of go back and forth. So, he was obviously an influential guy who influenced Hogan in a lot of ways, with, you know, of course, Hogan becoming a big, huge star, and, you know, he was, yeah, kind of, a, I mean, I guess a revolutionary force that, you know, if he had come along in his prime 10, 15, 20 years later, I think the DVD is named 20 Years Too Soon, so that seems relatively appropriate.
Yeah.
39, Jake Snake Roberts. I love Jake Snake, but I'm not sure he's, you know, accomplishments, not. You know, belongs on this list.
Probably not.
Number 40, The Big Show.
Probably not.
Well, it's The Big Show. Yeah. I mean, I like The Big Show. Yeah, I mean, I like everybody on this list, but, you know.
No thanks.
Yeah. 41, Jack Briscoe, which is interesting because they've never really acknowledged Jack Briscoe as being, like, a big star. It's always, like, Jack and Jerry together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jerry's been an employee there for so long.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Obviously, you know, as far as talent and things like that, probably maybe a little bit higher.
Yeah, I mean, he was
a little too low.
Yeah, I mean, he was a big, and I mean, he was champion for a few years. He was an incredible amateur wrestler and was kind of, yeah, like the, I mean, I don't know, maybe the Kurt Angle of his day. I mean, not that I've seen, but based on the description of what, you know, he's been talked about and based on the wrestling that he did later in his career that I've seen, you know, I mean, I mean, he and Dory Funk Jr., you know, had a tremendous rivalry that mm-hmm. was, you know, the state-of-the-art wrestling of its day.
Yeah.
Number 42, Sergeant Slaughter.
That's probably, maybe, you know, I
could see him out on, I could see him sort of at this level. Again, you know, if we're kind of going with the criteria that they seem to be going with, yeah. that's about right. 43, Kane.
Probably not.
Well, you know, he's a big star today anyway. And he's been
memorable feud with The Undertaker.
Well, you know, he's been around for a long time. You know, he's, you know, gosh, 12, 13 years now. So,
yes.
Whatever. 44, Nick Bockwinkel. I love me some Nick Bockwinkel.
There shouldn't be whatever on this list.
I guess there probably shouldn't be. And we're not saying whatever Nick Bockwinkel. Nick Bockwinkel was awesome. He's been one of my favorite wrestlers to watch on YouTube over the past couple of years. And I had not seen much of him before that. You know, I'd heard of him and I'd seen, you know, a few things here or there. I knew, you know, he was an AWA champion and all that. But I love Nick Bockwinkel, and he was, you know, other than Vern Gagne, he was probably the biggest AWA champion, or, you know, best AWA champion. It was a huge star. Yeah, interesting. I didn't notice that Vern Gagne was not on this list at all. Mm-hmm. That's kind of an interesting oversight, you know, given his, honestly, he was one of the top, you know, probably 10 wrestlers of the last 50 years as far as, you know, or 20 maybe, you know, as far as being a, you know, big national star. Yeah. So, interesting one. Number 45, Jeff Hardy. I don't buy that. No. I don't buy Jeff Hardy.
Do you think Matt Hardy's like
feeling slighted?
Yeah. Do you think he eats a donut every time? Oh,
again, we're still with the Matt Hardy's fat jokes. Still funny?
Yes.
Okay. All right. As long as they're still funny, we'll keep going with it.
If he's still fat, it's still funny.
Okay. Fair enough. Number 46, Dory Funk Jr. He should be higher.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he was really the man, as far as the NWA championship days, he was a bigger drawing or longer lasting anyway NWA champion than Terry was. Now Terry obviously, you know, reinvented himself and mm-hmm. had a, you know, probably a longer career, you know, I mean, although Dory Funk, I think he still wrestles. I mean, he's wrestled all the time, yeah. but he's wrestled on a very, you know, a smaller scale. He's been a trainer and a great trainer.
Yeah.
Number 47, Bob Backlund. Backlund's a tough one because he had that 6-year run as champion, which is, you know, a long time. I mean, even for those days, it was a long time.
Yeah.
But he did really very little before, very little afterward, mm-hmm. other than, you know, a couple of novelty runs in WWF, I guess, and even in TNA. He was big for a while during that run, but the fans did kind of turn on him in mm-hmm. the last couple years as WWF champion. So I don't know. That's a strange one.
Yes.
Number 48.
Not as strange as, I skipped ahead one.
Oh, okay. 48, Rick Rude.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Probably, if you're, I mean, yeah, he's great, great wrestler, good character. It's fine.
Yeah.
49, Batista.
Nowhere near.
Well, I kind of consider him like on the same level as Randy Orton. Probably been a bigger draw than Randy Orton. I mean, he had that big feud with Triple H that drew pretty well in 2005. Orton didn't really have anything like that. Orton's a better wrestler. But he's had some good, you know, he's had good matches here or there with the right opponent, you know, Undertaker in particular.
Yeah.
And I guess some of the Cena matches were pretty okay. And Triple H matches were good. So,
yeah.
I can understand the point of view putting them on there based on their, you know, wildly interesting criteria that they have set up. So, okay. You know, I at 49, it's not like I consider it like...
Yeah, it's not like a robbery, yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So, number 50, Killer Kowalski. So he took a man's ear off. So,
yes, there you
yeah.
go.
No Vader on this list.
Yeah, no Vader, yeah.
Yeah, I think Vader would belong ahead of probably Rick Rude, honestly. Yeah. You know, Vader was world. I guess Rick Rude did have a couple of. He had like the WCW International title, you know, after the NWA had withdrawn recognition of it. But I mean, Vader was, you know, kind of a, was more of a main eventer than Rude was.
What about like Sting and Luger?
No, yeah. Well, Sting in particular, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would think he would be, you know, I think he would probably belong on this list. Luger, I'm less confident of that, yeah. But.
Ultimate Warrior?
Oh, okay, that's a good one. He was kind of a flash in the pan. Goldberg also, you know, I could, you know, he would seem like he would be a guy you would want to throw in there ahead of, you know, like the Iron Sheik, for example.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't know if there's any other, like, you know, if you're talking about stars of the past 20, 30 years, you know, like big omissions. Mm-hmm. Of note.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I think those are pretty much the big ones, you know. But I mean, again, if we're talking about, you know, all time in wrestling, which this list kind of supposedly is supposed to be like an all time in wrestling, then, you know, I mean, you're talking about, Strangler Lewis, you know, you're talking about guys like, you know, obviously there's no, like, you know, anything before, like, you know, 1960 really is, you know, other than Luthez, is really, like, not addressed at all. Which, I mean, you know, people don't really have memories that go that far back. And I'm not, like, I'm saying that they need to have it be, like, it's difficult to do a historically accurate list. And, you know, I understand there's, you know, political stuff that goes on in there, and that's fine. But just kind of looking at, like, the mindset that goes behind it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if you have any more thoughts on, you know, where you think they possibly could have started and like how, like, I mean, obviously I would think like, okay, well, we'll start with a list of the top 50. Well, the first thing you think of, well, where do we put Hogan and Flair?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we can't put them in the top 10 because they don't work for us and they work for our competition.
That immediately deems this, you know, not a real list then. So,
right.
You know, where do you go from there? And, you know, just it's, you know, you just have to take it as, you know, you can't get upset about it because, you know, it's not a true 50 and it's just,
yeah,
it's just a ploy that they can use to, you know, sell some DVDs and that's all it is.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not some scientific method. It's not a detailed, you know, I'm sure this didn't take them more than a couple staff meetings to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know, where to put all this.
So, okay, what do you, like, you let's say you heard about this, you know, a few months ago. I don't know if you heard about it when they were first doing it, but, like, what, how does this list compare to, like, what you expected? Do you think it's a better list, a worse list, a different list? Is there anyone that really, like, dramatically surprises you that's either on or off or the ranking?
I mean, Hogan and Flair, obviously. Okay. I mean, that's, you know, it's silly and, you know,
okay.
they're much higher, but you know, there's no matter what no matter what order they're going to be in, you're going to have issues. But you know, all in all, you know, I'm not going to get too upset about where it is because you understand it's not like Hogan is on good terms and they put him at 24. I mean, you know the reason why he's there.
So, yeah.
You know, you just say whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, well, yeah, I want to transition this a little bit to, you know, I kind of had some debates on this, people will, or on Twitter or whatever, on a blog, they'll make a list of greatest wrestlers of all time, or they'll say, you know, who was the greatest wrestler of all time, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so. And my thing about this is, I don't think we should not be calling any wrestler the greatest of all time, because what you're inevitably doing is pretty much, most people are talking about the greatest wrestler of the last 30 years, because, you know, we don't have a whole lot of, like, video evidence of wrestling performance beyond, you know, before 1980, mm-hmm. you know, certainly not before 1970,
because
obviously the tapes weren't saved, you know, so you're not really, you know, very, very few of us have done the research necessary to have an educated opinion about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So And I, you know, it's not like you need to defend what you like the most or who your favorite is, but there's a difference between your favorite and the best. And if you want to convince me who the best is, then, you know, you probably need to come up with some evidence, you know, whether you're talking about, you know, four-star matches or drawing power, or whatever criteria you're using, which again brings up, you know, what is the greatest? Is the greatest simply, you know, who was the best in the ring? Is the greatest, you know, who drew the most money? Is the greatest combination of that? Or, you know, are we talking about, you know, promo? Or are we talking about, you know, any of these things? Mm-hmm. So I just think that we probably need to stop using the term greatest of all time unless you're, like, really well-researched, unless you're a historian, unless you've seen all the requisite matches. Because, you know, and again, you know, when you're people who are, you know, we're pretty much focused on North America, United States. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you're not even talking, you know, there's a lot of great wrestlers in Mexico, a lot of great in Japan, you know. I just think that it's not like in baseball where you can kind of, like, point to stats to argue, you know, Babe Ruth versus Barry Bonds, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have to have seen Babe Ruth in order to make a decent argument for or against him because, you know, there's numbers to, you know, to quantify it. Mm-hmm. You know, we're wrestling, you know, you're not talking, you know, the records for drawing power are spotty at best. Mm-hmm. You know, the record and, you know, obviously, you know, I don't think we've ever seen a Strangler Lewis match. So, yep. You know, or, you know, Jim Londos or, you know, anybody like that. So it's, you're just not really going to be able to, really be able to, you know, have a decent argument about that. So my point is that, you know, when you're talking about this, just, you know, you should be precise. You should be precise about what you're talking about. And, you know, I just hate calling anyone the greatest of all time because there's so many legends that we've seen little or nothing of.
I agree.
All right.
I agree. It, you know, and it's hard when this list, because you have a definitive number. So it gets to number one, and they're basically calling Shawn Michaels the greatest of all time.
Right.
Which is, you know, he's a great wrestler and one of the most memorable and the best of all time. But
yeah,
to call him the greatest of all time, it just puts a silly tag on it. And it's hard to, you know, whatever way they're going to use to justify it, it's going to come off as silly.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, like I said, I don't think there's any criteria that you can really, you know, that you can really make the case that Shawn Michaels is the best of all time, or, you know, even of the last 30 years in the United States, you know. Yeah. Now, you know, then again, you want, you know, maybe greatest of all time, you're talking about, well, peak years. Like, you know, their best year was better than anybody else's best year. Well, Shawn Michaels, you can make, at least make a decent case of that, you know. I'm not sure I buy it. But, you know, whatever it is, it's just, you know, When you're having these debates, I think it's important to be specific, be precise, and to you know, understand that unless, you know, you've really done your homework and really, really, you know, can say you've seen, you know, these guys and, you know, pretty much as much of their career as you possibly can. And, you know, a lot of the stuff is out there, you know, on YouTube and on videos and stuff. It's not like it's impossible for someone to, you know, I know that Death Valley Driver video review guys, you know, they have done like best of Texas and best of different territories and have kind of judged the, you know, the best top five from each territory and have gone back and looked at the footage and stuff and done a lot of great work. You know, so if you've done that level and you have a strong opinion about it, I'm certainly willing to listen and, you know, mm-hmm. I certainly value that more than, you know, my opinion, which has not, you know, seen all that stuff. But, you know, unless you've done it at that level, then, you know, let's stop pretending that we can definitively say.
Agreed.
All right. All right, Josh. Well, all you have to say on about that?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, let's see. You can find us on online, wrestlespective.com or wrestlespective.podbean.com. Both will take you there. And we're also twitter.com/wrestlespective or facebook.com/wrestlespective. And email us at wrestlespective@gmail.com. And also, I would like to take this opportunity to, I don't want to use the word beg, but I would like to see if people could possibly hook us up with a few comments on iTunes. We've gotten some support in a lot of places, but unfortunately we've gotten very few comments on iTunes. So if you've listened to a few episodes of the show and you really like it, we'd love for you to go to iTunes, search for Retrospective Radio, and give us a little bit of feedback. I think it helps people find the show, gets us ranked a little higher in the, if people search for wrestling and are looking for a podcast.
Hey, we want number one. We want to go to number one.
We want number one. That might be an unrealistic goal, but we're all about unrealistic goals here at Retrospective Radio. So.
The best wrestling podcast of all time.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks a lot for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you again.